Text for the sermon is the passage immediately following the one just read in the Gospel of Luke. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience, possess ye your souls. By standing firm, you will gain life, Jesus says. He is talking with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. He describes for them the signs of the end of the age. There will be earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places. There will be fearful events and great signs from heaven. Jesus also tells his disciples what will happen in the period before the end time. He says that people in authority will lay hands on them and persecute them. He says that they will be brought before kings and governors on account of him. This will give his disciples the opportunity to witness. But they are not to prepare their defense beforehand, because he will give them words of wisdom that none of their adversaries will be able to contradict. But by standing firm in the faith, by enduring to the end, they will gain life. Now, Luke does not tell us the names of the disciples who were with Jesus at this time, but Mark says that there were four: James, John, Andrew, and Peter. They must have wondered how difficult this endurance of which Jesus had spoken would be. Peter, we know, had his share of the old Adam, and he had a hard time standing firm. For shortly before hearing these words of Jesus, he denied that he ever knew our Lord. But the case of Peter illustrates Jesus' remarkable power and his ability to create faithful endurance in his followers. I want to concentrate on Peter as an example of life lived in Christ under the shadow of the end times. In the last chapter of John's Gospel, Peter meets the risen Lord, and Jesus gives him an assignment. He invites Peter to bear witness to him. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Jesus asks. "You know that I love you," Peter replies. "Then feed my sheep," Jesus says. Luke records several incidents in the book of Acts that show how firm in the Lord Peter became, how devoted he was to feeding Christ's sheep. Despite the fact that he lived in a world of wars and rumors of wars, of famine and plague, despite the fact that he faced the hostility of civic and ecclesiastical authorities, he carried out the task that Jesus had given him with loyalty and fidelity. But only because the power of the Lord was working in him. He and the other disciples were very active in Jerusalem just after the ascension. On one occasion, while he was going to the temple with John, Peter healed a beggar who had been crippled from birth. This incident attracted a great deal of attention. A crowd of people gathered around him. "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power we had made this man walk?" he asked. "The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and knew was made strong." healing of the beggar continued to cause discussion. Peter and John were taken to the Sanhedrin because, according to Luke, the fact that the apostles had been teaching people and proclaiming Jesus as the resurrection of the dead greatly disturbed the authorities. Now, some of us may know what it's like to face authorities after we have displeased them. It can be a very terrifying experience. But Peter knew he was in the right, and he trusted that the Lord would send him words of wisdom. For this was the promise he had heard from Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Peter remained steadfast in the faith. His accusers asked him by what power and what name he had healed the crippled beggar. Luke reports that the Holy Spirit filled Peter, and Peter replied, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom the Lord raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Peter pointed to Jesus as the author of the beggar's healing. After some discussion, the Sanhedrin ordered Peter and John not to speak in the name of Jesus. But the apostles replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard." "We cannot help speaking," Peter said. And with these simple words, Luke conveys Peter's steadfast faith to us. It's interesting to note how this incident in Peter's life fits in with Jesus' description of the times before the end. Our Lord said that authorities would lay hands on the disciples and persecute them. This happened to Peter and John. Jesus advised them not to prepare their defense beforehand because he would give them words of wisdom that their adversaries could not resist or contradict. This also happened to Peter and John. Then Jesus said that by standing firm, they would gain life, or as another translation puts it, they will possess their souls. This means that their endurance will culminate in the joys of heaven, the everlasting companionship of God. But such a high destiny, of which we actually know very little, makes the miseries of life in the times before the end seem trivial by comparison. For we know that the gospel shines out in these times. Peter mentioned it during his confrontation with the authorities. He said, referring to Jesus, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus, who died so that others might live, is the only road to salvation. Peter told the story of Christ's work on behalf of mankind to the people who had gathered around John and him after the healing of the crippled beggar. He said that the people of Israel had handed Jesus over to be killed, and that they had prevented Pilate from letting him go. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Peter went on to say that the people had acted in ignorance, as did their leaders, but this was the means that God used to fulfill what he had foretold through the prophets. Christ's obedience and suffering makes it possible for everyone on earth to repent and to turn to God so that their sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. These are the words that Peter uses, times of refreshing that come from the Lord. He then sounds a warning note. He says that anyone who does not listen to Jesus will be completely cut off from among his people. We need this warning note, for we are saints and sinners at the same time, and temptation surrounds us on every side. Although lack of faith and failure to persevere are common in the world at large, the good news is that sin does not dominate the lives of Christians. We live in the Lord's love for all people, We gratefully receive the forgiveness of sins, and we witness to others, no matter how hostile they may be to the faith that we have been given. Like his first disciples, we stand firm in the faith that gains life. It is this message of faith that Peter gave to the people of Jerusalem during the early days of the church, when the times before the end began. Despite wars and rumors of wars, despite famine and pestilence, despite persecution by powerful people, the gospel of Jesus Christ shines like a steady light, conquering sin, the flesh, death, and the devil. We retain the blessings of this gospel by standing firm in the faith. The Bible is full of indications as to how this steadfastness comes about. God gives it to us. He helps us to keep our thoughts and our will directed to him. Peter knew this very well. A little later in Acts, another incident took place involving Peter and the apostles that further illustrates what life in the times before the end is like. True to their word to the Sanhedrin, that they could not help but speak, they continued to witness to the Lord. According to Luke, they performed miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and crowds gathered, bringing the sick and people tormented by evil. All of them were healed. As you might expect, this activity once again attracted the notice of the Sanhedrin. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this place," said the high priests. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with this teaching." Peter said much the same as he had on the earlier occasion, that they must obey God rather than men, that the God of their fathers raised Jesus from the dead, and that God exalted him so that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. Peter said that they were witnesses of these things, just as Christ had foretold on the Mount of Olives. Going far beyond his earlier denial of Christ, Peter suggested that he could do nothing on his own. Everything must come from God. He tells the Sanhedrin, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So Peter and the apostles stood firm in the faith, simply because the Holy Spirit made it possible for them to stand firm, to endure, to remain steadfast for Christ. We infer from Jesus' remarks to his disciples that he wants us to do as Peter did, to stand firm in the faith. The apostle's early career reminds us that we cannot achieve this maturity on our own. And Jesus' words to his disciples on the Mount of Olives tell us that no matter what may happen to us as a result of our service to him, he will provide us with the words that we need as well as the stamina to persevere. Remember, he says that not a hair of your head will perish. May the encouragement of our Lord stay with us as we live out our own share of these times before the end. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.